strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage. Presented by Santan Ford.
Chandler Jones, the new Cardinal sack king. Buda Baker with the sack. Throws end zone for Fitz, goes up, and makes the game-winning catch. Larry Legend does it again.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford in Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. And by Hickman's Family Farms, providing local fresh eggs to markets since 1944. Visit us online at hickmanseggs.com.
The Red Sea is rising up!
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over!
From Cardinals headquarters.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get the popcorn ready. It's gonna be a show.
And Ron Wolfley.
It doesn't get any better than that!
Unleash the fury!
And we put a big red wrap on season number 17. Ron Wolfley, show number 32, going all the way back to the draft 2017. How about that?
I love that, Paul. That's nice. 32.
Do you have your game face on? Because have you seen the lineup tonight? Are you ready to roll when we have both coordinators and DJ Humphreys coming up on this big-time edition of the Big Red Rage? Darren Urban will be in to join us. We'll do a little Q&A with DJ a little bit later, and that will you got to stick around for that. And you're going to get to know your left tackle like you've never known him before. And Wolf, you know this. He's a different guy than he was when he came into the NFL 3 years ago.
No doubt about it. I mean, this guy, the transformation that DJ Humphreys has been through, it's just truly stunning. Now, Paulie, you had the opportunity, as you said, to actually sit down and talk to DJ with Darren Urban here. What was your takeaway from DJ Humphreys and how well he was doing?
One word, professional.
Really?
Same smile, same personality. A different demeanor, a different approach. The young man has realized, you know what? He has responsibilities, not only as a dad with his son Dash. He has responsibilities, obviously, to keeping his quarterback upright. He has responsibilities to those who drafted him, those who are coaching him.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of things and a lot of futures riding on DJ Humphreys, and I think he's recognized that now, having just turned 24 years of age.
Yes, of course. Now, that's mentally right there. What about his rehab? Did he happen to mention that at all, the rehab and how well that was going physically?
He's right on schedule. He'll give us a detailed update on that. He's right on schedule. And I will tell you this, he definitely had surgery. There is a scar. There is a scar in that leg that you can't miss. But he is off the crutches. He's out of the brace. And he is in the weight room every single day working and rehabbing. So, there. Look. It's sort of a metaphor for the Cardinals offseason. There were some power saws going on earlier around here. No hard hat stuff, but, you know, there's some construction going on at Cardinals HQ. That's sort of where the Cardinals are right now with their roster and this team. Are they not, Ron Wolfley?
Yes. You know what? I like the analogy, Paul. That was well done by you. I saw that right there. I saw what you did, Paul.
All right. You have no quarterback, not yet, so you don't have an identity, at least on offense. What about defense? Ron Wolfley, I see your sheet over there. Oh, do you have questions?
I've got a ton of questions. I cannot wait to talk philosophy with Al Holcomb and Mike McCoy. Yep.
We'll start with the defensive side of the ball and your defensive coordinator, Al Holcomb, in studio on the Big Red Rage. We'll get into it. What is the Big Red defense going to look like next season? It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
Al's someone that's been with me for the last 5-6 years, and he's a guy that I trust. He's a guy that I know that is committed, and he's a guy that I know that's accountable, not only for himself, but his players. And Al was one of the first guys that I wanted to bring with me, and I wanted to be able to get on his staff. And I'm extremely happy to introduce our new defensive coordinator, Al Holcomb.
What does head coach Steve Wilks know about his defensive coordinator that we do not? Well, the easy answer is a lot, but that's why he is our special guest here on this season-ending edition of the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford, Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, and the Cardinals' brand-new defensive coordinator, Al Holcomb. Al, welcome.
Pleasure to be here, guys.
How you doing, Al? Yeah.
I'm doing great. Yeah. How you guys doing?
Has GPS been your best friend getting around town so far?
Yeah, from the facility back to the hotel. That's about
That's
it.
That's about it.
You know, forget about the GPS. I just want to know, Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis.
Here we go.
Are you kidding me,
Coach,
Al?
I might not get a question in. Wolf is fired up.
These two guys, maybe the best ever. You could talk about him in that context.
You could make a strong argument, yes. A strong case for it. Those guys are fantastic ball players for sure. Fantastic.
Anything you learn from them that you're bringing to Arizona? I mean, we always know players learn from coaches. What about the inverse? Did you take anything away from them?
Yeah, I just – the way they go about doing their business every day, the way they come to work, the enthusiasm, the excitement, the energy that they brought, and obviously the overall professionalism that they brought to the table every day in terms of being exact in everything that they're trying to do. I like to, you know, kid and joke with the guys about having a PhD in football.
Yeah.
And those two men certainly, you know, it kind of epitomize those things in terms of what you're looking for in an overall football player and as a person as well.
You know, on that note right there, I'm glad you brought that up, Al, because you need to know, Paulie's a sideline guy, okay? I am the color analyst. Paulie's a sideline guy, okay? He's going to ask you all these inane type questions. I'm actually going to ask you some philosophical questions.
Oh, no. Brace yourself.
I just want to know, do you believe the league, Al, is still a pass-first league?
At times, yes. At times, yes. I do firmly believe that you have to defend the run and stop the run. If you do that, then yes, it does turn into a passing league. I think with the evolution of putting eight in the box, trying to, you know, stop the run, obviously creating one-on-one matchups on the perimeter, that is where you get into more of a matchup in a passing league at that point.
So when you say you don't have a scheme, you have a system, define that for us, football 101.
Well, when we talk about having a system, meaning we're going to do what we have to do every week in terms of preparation and going through the process of preparing our players to be successful, okay? And it may not be necessarily an X's and an O thing. It may be more fundamentals and technique. It may be more, you know, where are my eyes? My progressions, if I'm a defensive back, if I'm a linebacker, what are my keys and what are my reads? Within that, yes, there is a schematic portion of the game, but also just overall our system, how it's built, how one part equals another part, and they all blend and mesh and fit together. That's really where the system, the concept of the system comes from.
Do you consider yourself, Al, to be a one-gap guy? Do you think, is it more one-gap, or do you teach any two-gap whatsoever on your defensive front?
No, we're predominantly a single-gap penetrating defense. In terms of our front seven, we're not a two-gap team. You know, we're going to penetrate. We're going to establish a new line of scrimmage. We're going to control our gap. And at times, we play a gap and a half.
Okay.
Okay, but that's really when the ball carry is declared. Then we can shed in our gap and play the extra half a man gap. But we're not a two-gap defense.
And two-gap, Paulie, once again, is a defensive lineman that takes an offensive lineman right down the middle sideline guy. And he actually is responsible for both gaps on either side.
Even though I've been talking to players about this for years, that's cool. You know, the condescending tone with which Wolf throws that at me. That's all right. Because I was actually going to follow up and say, based on my conversations with players, that doesn't sound unlike what Todd Bowles and James Betcher were doing. I don't know how much time you've had with everything else in your life to watch any film of the Cardinals' defense, but how different in general do you think the Cardinals' defense will look this coming season based on the past few years?
Well, I think there will be some subtle differences, obviously. And as I've mentioned before, just overall, probably more from a terminology standpoint than anything, I think all of the defenses that you see on Sunday, and most of them in some regard are very, very similar in terms of, now, you could have a two-gap defense or you can have a single penetrating control gap type defenses, which is what we are, which is really when you look at the tape from the past season of the Arizona Cardinals, really what you're seeing is a single line charge, single gap defense, defensive front in particular. Mm-hmm.
Al, do you consider yourself philosophically to be a close the middle of the field guy? I mean, is that what you want to do? Is that in your DNA, so to speak, or do you like to keep that middle open?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to do a little bit of everything, so to speak. We're going to do whatever we have to do in terms of winning the game. If the matchups that we feel are favorable in our favor on the back end and we're geared up to stop the run, then you'll see a little bit of middle close.
Mm-hmm.
If we're feeling, you know, some different things pass-wise, if we feel like we can hold up with a split safety, you know, type look, then we'll play some split safety defenses as well.
It's Cardinals defensive coordinator Al Holcomb and the Big Red Rage. As long as Wolf's going all philosophy, okay?
I love this.
How much of what you're going to teach and you bring to the Cardinals goes all the way back to the Giants in Tom Coughlin.
You know, you talk about discipline right there. Discipline and toughness. Those things have followed me wherever I've been. It will continue to follow us here in Arizona. And, I mean, that's really, when you talk about, you know, toughness, discipline, I look at myself as a servant leader. I'm here to serve the players and put them in position to make plays and be successful at their craft and what they do. And that's really what my role is.
Would you characterize yourself as being an aggressive defensive coordinator for the most part? Would you characterize yourself as playing man, you know, going after a quarterback, bringing dogs or blitzes, or more is it more front coverage, as you would refer to it as?
Yeah, I think we're a combination of all of those things. There's no great answer per se. I think we're going to do what we have to do in order to defend the offense. Obviously, from a defensive standpoint, we don't want the ball thrown over our heads. We don't want to give up big plays. You know, so that's first and foremost, and we want to stop the run. And within that, and then, you know, in between all of those types of things, you know, we got to find a way to get it done.
Big headline today, Jimmy Garoppolo gets the big money, $130 million-plus, if you believe the reports. How much of your offseason is going to be spent studying these quarterbacks you're going against in the NFC West? Jimmy G, Jared Goff, and Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I think that's important, obviously. Knowing your division and, you know, knowing there's been some changes, you know, throughout the division and trying to catch up and try to get a feel for what those guys do best and, you know, what things maybe give them a little bit of an issue. And then, you know, as we get geared up towards the season, obviously, you know, we'll have some things in place and a plan in place to try to do the best we can in terms of defending those guys and the offense.
Has the return of the fullback become one of the biggest trends in the National Football League, Coach?
No, this past season we saw a lot of fullback-driven personnel groups, I think that people want to get back to truly running the ball and having that, you know, that tough mentality on the offensive side of the ball. They put a lead blocker in there and, you know, tell them to go climb and go get the backer on the second level. I think everything comes full circle. There's fads, there's trends, but at the end of the day, it's about blocking, tackling, catching, running, doing all the fundamentals.
On behalf of the Big Red Rage, I apologize for the fullback club question. I really thought he was going to save that for Mike McCoy. I really did.
Mike's
but you got
it too.
Oh, no, come on now. Coach, welcome, and thank you for the time.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate
it. Thanks, Coach.
Right, there you go. Back with Mike McCoy on the offensive side of the ball next on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
You look at our offensive coordinator, Mike McCoy, a guy that has tremendous experience in the National Football League calling plays. He's worked with receivers. He's worked with the quarterbacks. I'm very excited about Mike coming on board. Tremendous character, a great family man, and I'm extremely happy to introduce and welcome Mike McCoy as our offensive coordinator.
And what a pleasure it is to call the name of the guy who's going to be calling the plays. It is the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert, Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, and joined by Mike McCoy, the Cardinals offensive coordinator and coach. I'm going to run my own no huddle over here.
Okay, there we go. I'm ready for it. What do you got?
Wolf has about 300 questions. Okay. He's on the edge of his seat. He's
get
ready
in
to
while
go.
You can.
I'm just right off the top here. You know, how are you assimilating to the AZ? Everything, you know, going? I mean, is everything going a mile a minute right now for you? You looking forward to when it settles down and you get acclimated to your new surroundings?
Yeah, it's great. My wife flew in today, so she's out there looking. She's house hunting right now to try to find a place for me to live. And we've put the staff together for the most part, and now – we've been in the playbook a couple days to try to build the common language between all the coaches so we can figure out what we want to do and what direction we're headed and how we're going to call so we can at least communicate in the meetings and everything. So, but, you know, that's the fun part of this. You know, with the new staff coming in, the first couple weeks, you know, a little hectic getting going. But once you settle down, it's great to get in there, watch film, start evaluating some free agents, evaluate our roster and things like that.
Mike, with a playbook, is there any carryover? Will there be any carryover from BA's system and his terminology?
Well, I'm kind of learning that with because we went through kind of the general information, defensive terminology, and we did went over some run game things this morning. So each day we're going to kind of pick a section, and there is some carryover, you know, going back to the days when Wiz and BA were together back in the days, and then when I was with Wiz. So you kind of, you know, the game of football, it's you know, it's a game of thievery. You kind of steal things from here and there. It's you watch clips, the touchdown reel from the week before. You kind of implement those things, but concepts are very similar. Mm-hmm. But you just call it something different. So we're trying to figure that out. And I truly believe in, you know, trying to make it as smooth as transition as possible. So if there's certain things that the players know here that I somewhat know, if we can keep it that way, for less for them to learn, pay off in the long run.
You know, if I'm the defensive coordinator right now, the Rams and the Niners or the Seahawks, and I'm looking at the Cardinals and I'm saying, wait a minute, they don't have a quarterback under contract. And their new offensive coordinator, 1 year led the league in rushing with Tim Tebow. Mm-hmm. And then the very next year with Peyton Manning, threw for 4,700 yards and 37 touchdowns. So you've basically run and done everything in between, the entire gamut. And there's no identity right now to this Cardinals offense. How comfortable are you with that?
I'm excited. You know, it's a great opportunity for us to put this thing together as a staff in the first year. You know, coach has put a great staff together. And, you know, Steve Keim and the personnel department will do a great job through free agency, through the draft. And, you know, we're starting to learn a lot about each other. We've only been here a couple days as a staff. So this is the fun part. And it's that way every offseason you look at it and say, God, we need to get this. We need to do this. Even the teams that win the Super Bowl, there's certain things they want to improve on. So it's just taking it one day at a time.
Do you believe, Mike, this is still a pass-first league?
Well, I believe you got to do whatever you can to win. That the tough thing about throwing the football these days is that front. The way these players rush the passers now and the athletes that are playing on the defensive front, the game's changed, and it's so much faster these days. So the offensive line has got a tough challenge ahead of them week in and week out. So you've got to try to take advantage of what a team's doing schematically. Is there a defender that you can take advantage of? And then how are you going to help those guys up front? Is it max protection? Is there slide protections? Are you chip helping? There's a number of different ways to help the guys up front. You know, but playing teams like this year, we got to play the Chargers with Joey and Mel on the edge. I mean, two phenomenal mm-hmm. pass rushers. And you look at that on every roster, you know, as you play teams. You look at those teams. You know, the Aaron Donalds of the world, you got to block. It's
right.
You know, there's some sleepless nights there figuring out how you're going to block it.
And speaking of the Chargers, being a head coach for 4 years, what has that done to your perspective as an offensive coordinator?
Well, I think you look at the big picture of things a little closer. I think you look at, you know, that fourth and one that you don't convert sometimes. You know, you're going to look over at the head coach and say, you got to deal with that with the media. Have fun with it. You went for it. We didn't get it. No, you really look at those things of the, you know, not just calling the plays and worrying about the offense. You look at the, you know, you really understand, you should have a better understanding for the consequences of not getting certain things and how it affects a team. Where, you know, where coach always says, you know, we're the most selfish people in the business. You always want more. You want this and that. So as an offense, you want them to go for it on fourth down. Then it's the defensive coach that you don't get it. Now he's on a short field, things like that. You know, going for that fake punt at times, and it really doesn't work, which you thought it was the best thing for the team or at that point in time to go for it, and it doesn't work. So you really look at the whole entire game and not just from an offensive perspective.
And it sounds like Coach Wilkes really valued the fact you had head coaching experience.
Well, I was fortunate when I took the job in San Diego that Ken Wisenhunt was on my staff, and I decided to make him the offensive coordinator because there's so many things that come across your desk on a daily basis. It's not all football related. You're the CEO of the organization.
You know, Mike, you were one of the first guys actually to go with a lot of the college schemes because of Tim Tebow brought into the league, right? How much has that penetrated the Mike McCoy lexicon offensively, college schemes and actually using them?
Well, I think you've got to go back to the days when I was in Carolina with Dan Henning. Dan Henning was our offensive coordinator, and we had Brett Bazinet on our football team and Chris Wanky, and we were getting ready to play the Atlanta Falcons, and we put this Wildcat package in, you know, with the quarterback being there. Brett Bazinet was from Northwestern, so we had this package, and you kind of adjust with what your personnel. Jake DeLome was out at the time, so there's certain things you do that you got to adjust to your mm-hmm. personnel, and that's just the way the game is played. And then when we got Tebow, we came up with what we thought was best to be successful with Tim.
Mm-hmm.
So it just changes from who your quarterback is, whether it is Brett Bazinet, Chris Wanky, with Jake DeLome, Rodney, Pete, you know, you go on with those guys, and you get into, you know, with the Phillip Rivers, the Peyton Mannings, the Tim Tebows of the world, and then going to my days last year in Denver, you try to adjust what you can to your personnel. Mm.
So the Cardinals' offense this year, to what degree is it going to depend on the identity of the quarterback and the skill set of the quarterback that this team eventually signs or drafts?
Well, I believe, you know, you're going to have your base running game that you're going to try to, regardless of who the quarterback is. Now, there's some different things you can do, depending on how athletic that quarterback is these days, you know, with the zone reads and certain things. But then the passing game will be how much can the quarterback handle. You know, you want to try to do, you know, what does he do best? What is he like? That's something we're going to look at on a weekly basis is what do our players do best? And, you know, what does our personnel do best? Not just the quarterback, but you really got to look at that guy and say, okay, he can handle this much. And, you know, I just want to make sure we can out-execute what our opponent's doing.
Have you ever had a running back that brings as much to the table as David Johnson?
You know, I'm excited to work with him. You always want to have that back or players that can do it all. You know, and from watching film, you know, the early part of his career, you know, unfortunately he was injured this year. But from talking to coaches on this staff, there's so much excitement and having talked to some players about what he can do, not just in the running game, but the mismatch and his ability to catch the football and run routes, it's exciting. So, you know, we've done a lot of that with the backs we've had in the places I've been the past couple years. So I think the fans and our team is really going to enjoy having a back that can be involved in the passing game.
Mike, I think that David Johnson has the same skill set, a lot of the same skill sets, I would say, as Le'Veon Bell. Have you watched any Steelers film?
Seen plenty of it, unfortunately, to see have to play against him and what he does. You know, we had there's a couple games you look there, you think your defense is just assignment sound. Next, he's got so much patience, and all of a sudden he bounces that.
But
out
you haven't studied any of the Steeler film offensively. In other words,
we study everything in this league. we're looking for we're looking for that fullback. You know, who can be that great fullback? You know, you're looking for the tight end.
That was great. See, you know so good, Mike. Hey,
I thought with the music rolling, it would save us from any mention of a fullback. But there
you know,
it is.
Get him going. Mike. You know, hey, you know?
Absolutely, the fullback making a comeback in the NFL.
There we go.
Yeah, just lead him on and make a final cut. All right, in late August, and just get rid of the fullback until. No, we appreciate it, Mike. Thank you for the time.
Thank you very much.
All right, we look forward to that. DJ Humphreys, his left tackle, is next on the Big Red Rage.
Johnson running right, has the first down easily.
Boy, what a good job at the point of attack right there. It seemed like DJ Humphreys got a nice block.
DJ Humphreys pumping his chest and his fist after the Cardinals move the sticks.
Yeah, DJ Humphreys really has been a plus.
Gives to Johnson, has a hole up the middle to the 35-yard line.
Huge hole. Great job by DJ Humphreys at the point.
The Big Red Rage is back with the Cardinals' big left tackle, DJ Humphreys. As someone said earlier, every day is hump day when DJ is in studio.
Every day is hump day.
We need that smile around here, Darren, you know? He's fresh out of the weight room. When you get around to the big weight, let Darren and I know. We'll jump in.
For sure. I'll definitely let y'all know when I get there.
You look good. How are you feeling?
I appreciate it, man. I feel great. I don't feel like I had knee surgery 2.5 months ago. You know what I mean? I'm moving around good. Knee feel good. Can carry my baby up and down the stairs, so... I'm good for now anyway. I'm good for the offseason anyway.
you were saying off air that that you had been braced up. Could you kind of take us through how it kind of went? You were immobile for 8 weeks or so?
Yeah. So I had to sit down for maybe like two to three weeks before I had the surgery just to kind of let the swelling go down so they can see everything when they went in there. I had my surgery. Had to be in my brace locked out. No movement for 4 weeks, and then I got 20 degrees of movement, I think, for the last 4 weeks. So I was in the brace pretty much 8 weeks, 2 months, basically. I've been out of it now for close to a month, and I'm so excited.
What were you more sick of? Were you more sick of the brace or the crutches?
The brace, because after the first 4 weeks, I was off the crutches. So I was able to walk weight-bearing just with the brace on after the first 4 weeks. When they put a little bit of bend in the knee brace, they let me take the crutches off.
So do you drive or are you Ubering everywhere? How does that work?
I'm driving. As soon as they gave me some degrees in my knee brace, I was behind the wheel. I got tired of being driven around. I needed it.
Now, upon injury, we heard dislocated kneecap, and that was better than what we originally heard. Remember, Darren, what Bruce Arians said off the bat was they feared it was a torn ACL, and he actually revised it, the diagnosis, the day after.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was too. As soon as I had never – this is my first time ever being, like, really – injured where I need to like actually be have surgery. It's my first surgery. So when I felt it, I was like, I just tore everything in my knee. Get me off the field. Like, I don't want no cart. I'm about to walk off. Just get me off the field because like I'm done. Like, I know everything in there is blowed out. Even when the doctors felt me, they knew that it wasn't the ACL. And I was like, all right, cool, cool. Everything else, I mean, we could deal with that. You know, American, whatever I got to do to get that back right, we're cool. But as long as I don't have, I ain't got to sit down for 10 months, man. I'm good, you know. But dislocated the kneecap.
Okay.
And when I dislocated the kneecap, I tore the quad VMO, basically like the tip of the quad attached to the knee. I tore my MPFL. I don't know what those letters stand for. So
I'm pretty sure FL doesn't stand for football league.
No. Definitely doesn't stand for football league. But that's the ligament that holds the kneecap in place, yeah. Basically. So I tore all three of those, and I dislocated my kneecap. And but I'm moving around good now, man. Getting my dance moves back and such. So, you
know. Well, if you're chasing around the little one, that's always good. You know what I mean? That's good agility work right there.
That was like the first stage of my rehab. It was just, he didn't care that my knee was hurt. He still wanted me to do the same stuff. Like, I want to play football, Dad. Like, what are we doing now?
It's funny you mentioned that it's the first time. I mean, we all know what kind of injuries this team suffered last year. But Marcus Golden, I'd never been hurt before like this. David Johnson, I'd never been hurt before like this. DJ Humphries, I'd never been hurt. That's not a good thing.
No, that's scary, actually. That's scary for me. I like when I sat back and looked, I was like, bro, 1, 2, and 3 of our draft class is like done.
That's true.
It's true.
For the year.
I didn't even think about the draft class part
like,
of it.
Done. You know what I mean? Like 1, 2, and 3.
So what's a typical day for you? DJ Humphries on board here on the Big Red Rage. When it comes to the rehab and your workouts now, have you hit any recent milestones? What's a typical day look like for you?
Well, every day, first thing in the morning, go over to O-line performance and train, and then come here an hour and a half later and do my rehab and stuff and do all my stuff on my knee just because I have a set time here for rehab and stuff. So that was the easiest way to fit into my training because I want to at least be swole up top while I'm waiting on my legs to get together, you know what I mean? So I'm just going over to Charles during the day and work on my upper body strength and getting everything going up top, and then I come here and get my knee fixed, and then after that I'm daddy mode. After that I'm at the house.
When we start talking, I mean, obviously last year was a weird year for you because you got hurt in the opener and you had to sit a few weeks, then you came back and then you got hurt again. Yeah. How are you mentally and how were you mentally in terms of dealing with trying to take that step forward that everybody was waiting for you to take and having it get disrupted so violently a couple of different times?
To be honest, man, I think I was, I say it often to my people, I think as a child or as a kid, I developed like a mind state of, all right, cool, that's messed up, but like I got to figure out how to get to the next one. Yeah. You know what I mean? All right, like the house is burning down, but like I still got to get my stuff out. Like, you know what I mean? Like that's so I kind of like conditioned myself to think like that. So it's like I wasn't really thinking about, hey, I just hurt my knee. I was still thinking like, all right, well, I got to get this quad strong so I can still drive out of my past it like I was before. You know what I mean? Or like just like I am now, it's like, well, I got to make sure this leg is just as strong so when that bull rush come, I'm able to sit on. I don't really think about as much of, man, is my knee going to be strong? Or is it going to be this? Or is it going to be that? I'm not conditioned. My mind doesn't work
That's a pretty good way to think of it, though. Yeah.
And you're still 24 years of age. You just turned 24.
Turned 24 in December, yeah.
So, I mean, that's remarkable, right? How comfortable were you with the caliber of your play, the state of your game before the injury?
I was really excited. I was really excited the fact that I was coming off of not playing 3-4 weeks and I was able to play that I was and have the conditioning that I was and being able to do the stuff that I was doing on the field. I was really excited about it. I felt like I was building something good last year before, like in between those 4 games that came. I felt like I was really building something real good and putting down some good foundation. I was really confident in what I was doing. And I think that's something that I still have. Like, I don't feel like I lost my confidence in my brain because I got hurt. I still feel like when I get back on the field, I'm going to roll right back into what I was doing before because mentally I'm still conditioning myself like that and I'm still training, you know what I mean? So I'm excited.
You think the chip for you is always going to be there? The chip on the shoulder? I mean, not that you kind of had a like almost a reverse chip because it kind of started growing once you got here, right? Yeah. As opposed to, you know, before you got drafted, but is that going to stick with you or do you think you're going to outgrow that at some point?
No, I'm going to be honest with you. I lost that in between my junior year and my rookie year. So I think that was just something that I was glad to find back again. You know what I mean? It's kind of like it really just because I was always the smallest lineman. Yeah. I think I always had that chip. And then I don't know what it was. Something about that in-between stage where I lost it, and I'm just so excited I found it back because it's so important for my game alone, just for me personally, the way that I play and how I – pump my guys up and I bring them up. It's so important for me to be like that. So I got to stick with it.
Well, as a first round pick at 21 years of age, I mean, it's hard to feel like you got disrespected, right?
I was
it's
definitely
hard to
smelling myself a little bit. Yeah.
It's hard to have a chip on the old shoulder pad.
Man, it's hard.
But then after you were inactive your entire rookie season.
That is like a. That's like one of those things. Like if you have a really good career, that's like something that's like gonna be like a focal point of the talk in like 15 years. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's something like I think about it often. Like, yeah, it was tough there for a minute, but when we have my Hall of Fame speech, this is what we're gonna be talking about. We're gonna be talking about how I was on the bench my rookie year and it wasn't good. You know what I mean? Like, so that's the type of stuff that I try to remind myself of. And like, hey, if you lose this chip, bro, you'll be back on the bench.
You also right before you got hurt, I remember. I remember talking to you for a story, and Harold Goodwin had brought it up about how important it was for you to have a son. Mm-hmm. And the kid changes a lot of stuff. But we talk a lot in professional sports now. It feels like there's younger and younger guys coming to the NFL. How much does that maturity thing you think play into all this? I mean, you guys are coming in young into these is it just a question of growing up a little bit and having some growing up things happen, like having a kid?
I think so. And I'm saying this from my stance. You know what I mean? The stuff that I've been through, I had to realize, like, bro, this is not a game. Like, people are not here playing with you. You're spending a lot of people money in this building that's expecting you to get some return on that investment, and you're making them look stupid right now. Like, you know what I mean? And when that started to click for me and understand that it wasn't just about me, and I think that's a part of growing up. You understand that there's other priorities in life and other things that you got to handle in life to make sure everything else falls in place for yourself like it's supposed to. So I think that was like you said, just growing up. Like, you don't get to that point without some self-growth inside. You know what I mean?
No, that's well said, because foremost among those would be your GM, Steve Keim, who said this recently about your state of play.
I have a lot of confidence in DJ, and I think that, you know, what he's shown us over the past year and a half in terms of work ethic and intangibles and his competitiveness, which is the thing that probably excites me the most, is how naturally competitive he is. The sky's the limit for the young man, and I think he'll continue to grow and get better as the seasons go on.
If memory serves, you told Darren in that piece right before you got hurt that your son Dash is, quote, the reason I'm still in the NFL.
100%. No
accurate.
Question.
That's accurate.
No question.
Because?
Because, I mean, just look at the NFL. It's facts. It's facts. First rounders have 3 years to hang themselves. That's a fact. You got 3 years as a first rounder to not be in the league anymore. You play as a first rounder, you ball as a first rounder,
you may
walk yourself into 10 years.
Right.
If you don't, you're a bust. It's hard to come back from being a bust. That's a fact. I almost got the stamp put on me, right? Like, I was in the pivotal moment. That second year is when it happened. Yeah. If you don't play good your second year, you don't play your second year, it's a bust.
Your second training camp, all eyes were on you from the get-go.
From the jump, from day one.
All the coaches, all the scouts were around the O-line drills.
Everybody. But, like, if you – something I live on. Like, I like, surprised I don't have a tattooed on me. My daddy told me this when I was young, and it didn't click for me until a couple years later. Pressure busts pipes. It's a fact. Pressure also makes diamonds. What's going to happen? You got to go through this. You in it now. You got to go through it. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to let it eat you up, or are you going to eat it? Like, what you going to do with it? Like, what's going to happen right now? Mm-hmm. Are you going to be that guy, or are you going to be a bust? And there's like, and if I didn't have that extra motivation, it would have been harder to find that drive and that focus and what I had to do and understanding that it was bigger than me and what I had going on. Yeah.
And then the Cardinals had that game against the Niners where they ran for 167 yards and 122 of those yards to the left side against a trio of first round picks who were on that defensive line.
Yeah, those guys were,
I mean, that was a threshold game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You and Alex Boone came off the ball and
Definitely no scrubs over there.
that was big. So if you're the GM, Steve Keim, you saw it.
Oh yeah.
What he saw in the draft, what he saw in picking you 24th, then he saw come to fruition in that game. And that's why you are the left tackle right now going forward. And you're going to have a new position coach. You're going to have a new head coach, a new offensive coordinator. We'll get into all that. It's the big left tackle. DJ Humphreys, in fact, maybe BLT. That'll be your position. BLT, big left tackle on the Big Red Rage when we come back.
I like that.
Dave
David Johnson trying to get the corner. He does. He's into the end zone for the touchdown. Johnson up the middle, and he's into the end zone for his second touchdown.
31's got a dark heart.
David Johnson across the 45. Great move to the right at the 50. Cuts back to the left at the 40. He's loose at the 30. He's at the 20, the 10. It's a David Johnson 58-yard touchdown run. Johnson up the middle, and he's into the end zone for the touchdown. David Johnson up the middle, into the end zone for touchdown number 3.
Big time run by David Johnson.
He is a freak.
You want an offseason acquisition? How about adding over 2,000 total yards and 20 touchdowns? Because that's what it feels like with the return of 31, David Johnson. He went down in week one. Our guest on the Big Red Rage, DJ Humphreys, also suffered that injury in week one at Detroit. It is a Big Red Rage. Paul Calvisi, Darren Urban. And what's it going to be like for this Cardinals offense to actually enjoy the services of David Johnson again when you guys have the ball?
Man, can we just take a moment of silence here for a second?
Let that wash over you a little bit?
Can we just let this sink in?
There was a hangover, if nothing else. Forget about just the numbers. There was a hangover in the locker room after you guys lost David Johnson, an all-pro.
David is such a good dude. He's such a good person to be around. He's such a good, how do you say it? He don't even speak so much, but it's just like when you watch him move and you watch him do the stuff that he do, it's like, I need to do some more. Like, I need to double back and do something else just because, that's my running back, and he did a little bit more than he was supposed to. So let me just go over here and make sure. You know what I mean? Because he's just one of those guys. It's like you want to follow him. You know what I mean? I'm a natural mm-hmm. lead. I'm a natural alpha male, but that's like a guy I want to be like, all right, come on, what are we doing? Come on. Like, you know what I mean? And that's hard to find when those people, like, when you people like me, especially with a strong personality like myself, it's hard for me to find somebody to be like, all right, bro, like, go ahead and I'm going to follow you. Like, you know what I mean?
Usually you're the Pied Piper. Everyone's following you.
It's hard for me to do that. It's hard for me to do that. So when you, and David is not even he's not a strong personality guy where he's just like trying to take over a room or scream. Yeah, he's just like, do my thing over here. You guys want to join in? Like, you know what I mean? He's one of those guys. So you don't feel right not doing the stuff. You know what I mean? So David is.
Well, we both had a chance to talk with Mike McCoy, your offensive coordinator. I don't know if you've had that opportunity yet, but yes. Darren knows. He was asked about, all right, when you look at your roster and some of the talent at your disposal, what do you think your approach is going to be?
You know, we have a lot of work ahead of us moving forward. Our roster, we got a lot of time before we play that first game. So we're going to find out what our players do best. The roster is going to continuously change. We're going to churn the roster, and it's going to keep on going. So the key thing, I think, as a coach and as the offensive coordinator is find out what our players do best, and we'll adjust accordingly.
That's got to be music to your ears.
Man, that was the exact thing he told me when we met. Those verbatim, that we're going to do what you're good at.
That's smart, isn't it?
Well, I appreciate that. That's awesome. I'm glad that we could do that. That's perfect, man. Yeah.
What's the mindset of a player right now going through? I mean, you've been in the league a couple of years. You've been in the league a couple of years, and you know what's going on, and now there's a lot of change going on. And on your side of the ball, there could be a lot of change going on. How do you kind of look at all this at this point?
I'm looking at it through a new set of eyes. I never worked with a second coaching staff in any situation of any football I've ever played. High school, always had the same coach. College, once my coaches left, I left. NFL, this is my first time, you know what I mean, going through this. So I think for me personally, optimism is key. Nothing's going to work if we don't buy in. If you don't buy in, you lose. If you buy in and it don't work, you lose. So I'd rather buy in and go out with the team. You know what I mean? So I'm how I feel is if everybody's bought in, everybody's looking forward to what we're trying to do, we're going to win games. All the talent is in this building, we're going to win games. We just got to lock in on what we're supposed to be doing and how we're supposed to be doing it. And take advantage of what we do well, like you said. Do what we do well and do it at a high level.
It's DJ Humphreys on the Big Red Rage. And look, we know you're the franchise left tackle, but you, like 52 other guys, are unproven to this coaching staff. Does that bring a little something extra in terms of intensity? Is there going to be a period where everyone is going to have to prove themselves?
I try to prove myself every day to myself, so I don't think searching for a validation from other people, I think that's how you lose yourself. So every day I look in the mirror, I'm competing with that dude. So I don't think it's nobody that can beat that dude to me in the mirror. I understand completely what you're saying, but I feel like if everybody's out here just trying to be the best player that they can be every day for themselves, everything else will fall into place.
That's why your Twitter account, if memory serves, you have a don't dilute the game.
Yeah,
don't chase dilute greatness.
Not chicks.
There you go.
Yeah. Them chicks going to come if you're great.
That's a good point. How about first impressions on your head coach, Steve Wilks?
Like, I'm a lot of Charlotte guy.
Charlotte guy.
West Charlotte guy.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So that's got a home team win with me, so I'm excited. No. Yeah, I mean, everybody, I did my due diligence talking to certain players about how they felt about it. I haven't heard anything, any bad thing about any of the guys on our, the new coaches on our coaching staff. So I'm really excited for all the good things that's in store, because Steve Wilkes, I've heard nothing but great things about.
Do you talk to current Cardinal players about it yet, or is it like we'll have all these discussions once everybody's in the building again and we're talking with the coaching staff, or do you make phone calls after?
Oh man, as soon as the stuff started going down, we're putting phones to the ear, trying to figure out what you got, what do you know about this person? Do you know this guy? Have you ever, you know, you want to know what you're walking yourself into. I would like to know if I'm finna walk myself into somebody who's doesn't have a lot of personality, don't know how to speak to me, so I know how to approach, you know what I mean? Yeah. Just little stuff like that, so yeah. I can know how to conduct myself around him, you know what I mean? Knowing, hey, this guy has personality, so you can speak to him like you speak, because he'll get it, and you won't be looking there with a lot of energy, and he has a little bit of energy, like, you right. know what I mean? It won't get weird there at all.
Well, with that in mind, Steve Wilkes looks like a no-nonsense kind of guy. Can you be your same gregarious, effervescent personality self, DJ Humphries?
I think so. I think if you're working, I don't think it matters. I think that's something I didn't come to figure out. I feel like I got a lot of flack for being so jokey-jokey because I wasn't doing a lot of work. I've been the same jokey-jokey guy the whole time I've been in the league.
You have been.
It has nothing changed about me.
More often than not, you have a smile on your face.
All the time. Like, you know what I mean? So nothing's changed about me. I'm just putting in work on the field. So now it's more we can talk about me playing football versus talking about me laughing, cracking jokes.
So how often have you fielded the quarterback question, and how curious are you, like the rest of us, to find out who the quarterback is of this team?
I would just like to call the guy. I just want to, you know, have a talk with him. I'm excited, though. I'm interested to see how it plays out. Because I'm interested with the names just to see how it plays out, who we choose, depending on the offense, which direction we go in. So this is interesting. I keep telling everybody I know just as much as you know. People ask me in the gas station, grocery store, I know just as much as you do, man. I don't got no inside scoop for you, but I really don't. I wish I did.
I was telling Darren, some guy just walked by me at a Little League game. He said, Cardinals are trading for Andy Dalton. Oh, thanks. That's just some guy. I don't know. You right. know what I mean? You hear everything.
Good talk, bro.
Yeah, right. Appreciate that. It's just amazing. It's everywhere. So, you know. Did you see the Carson Palmer retirement coming? Did you see that coming?
I won't say I did because I wasn't around as much. Because I was in and out of the building so much when being hurt, so I couldn't really see it. I didn't really see it, no.
So as a wrap-up, you tracking for training camp? I mean, where do you think? Where are you with your rehab? Are you tracking for off-season, mini camp, more like training camp? When do you think we'll see you out on the field? Do you know yet?
I'm playing it by ear, to be honest, because I really don't know. Because I've been telling everybody different stuff, and then the trainer be like, what? No. So I'm just like, all right, I'm just keep telling people I don't know. Because I think camp for sure, though. I'm pretty sure camp for sure. Yeah.
That is very good news. Great talk, DJ. The best of luck in the offseason. Thanks for joining us.
Appreciate y'all.
The Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford, rolls on right after this.
I'm truly excited about this opportunity. I look forward to the challenges that are ahead. But most importantly right here, we're going to put a quality team on the field that everybody's going to be proud of.
As DJ Humphries said, look, it's not going to work if you don't buy in. So far, so good, based on what DJ Humphries said about the reaction from the locker room to the new head coach, Steve Wilkes. And when you start figuring out how much talent is coming back, I mean, 15 guys in IR, 7 starters, all the injuries, all the games missed. Ron Wolfley, welcome back into the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. Man, when you formulate that depth chart in your mind of all the talent that's coming back, and then you add a quarterback, totally unknown at this point, but you add a quarterback, and then realize what 3 of the 4 playoff teams did between the Eagles, the Jags, and the Vikings without a marquee quarterback, it can be done.
Yeah, of course, it starts on the defensive side of the ball, Paulie. You better have some guys that can ball on defense, and I think the Arizona Cardinals have that going forward, especially with Steve Wilkes coming in as well, right, and Al Holcomb. The defensive coordinator had the opportunity to visit with him a little bit. These guys are no strangers to defensive football, so it's going to be interesting to see what it is they're able to do with James Betcher's guys, so to speak, because Betch did a great job defensively, as we all know, for the last 3 years. But I loved your conversation with DJ Humphries, man. Oh, my goodness. The accountability from this young gun, this guy, is awesome to hear. The determination as well to get back out on the field. The dependability, the desire to be dependable. This kid wants it. and he's got all of this great athleticism. And let me just say this quickly, Bully. There's been a lot of left tackles that have played in the National Football League that at one point suffered an ACL, blew their knee out at one point, and came back and did just fine because of the demands of the left tackle position. Of course, we immediately assume, oh boy, this is really going to be tough. His athleticism is going to be impacted. It won't be, as a matter of fact. So much of playing left tackle is about technique. That's what he's got to focus on. If he focuses on technique, his natural ability, his natural feet will come along.
Yeah, the accountability, when he said, I was smelling myself, quote unquote, he was talking about his rookie year and being a 21-year-old first-round pick, and then how he lost that chip on his shoulder between his last year of college and first year in the pros. And
so then, honest.
And then the maturity to say, you know what, he realized it's not a game. It's a business. There are people in the building with a vested interest in your future, and you're making them look bad. And that was a huge catalyst for his turnaround.
Incredible.
Well, that is the end of the season. Next time we talk to you on the Big Red Rage is going to be right before the draft. Special thanks, Cody Fincher and Jim Omohundro. There is no Big Red Rage without Ohms. Ron Wolfley, I'm Paul Calvisi. We will talk to you right before the draft on the Big Red Rage.
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals.
One, two, three, let's go!
And by Hickman's Family Farms, providing local fresh eggs to markets since 1944. Visit us online at hickmanseggs.com.
Woo! What's up, what?
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.